All right, what's going on, everyone? It's Tuesday, September 5th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Tonight, we're going to change gears a little bit. It's a slow day when it comes to news and headlines. There's not a lot going on today, which is kind of, it's different. But we're going to change up a little bit, and we're just going to try to equip tonight. So I want to just share my heart a little bit. I'm going to share with you seven keys on unlocking the impossible in your life. Let me say that again. This is the title for this message tonight. Seven keys that I have personally discovered to unlocking the impossible in your life. These are things over 23 years of ministry that I have discovered, that I've seen implemented in my life, and I've seen God use these things. And we could probably pull out 25, 30 different things, but these are seven major things that I've noticed that when I implement these things in my life, there is results. God moves. He moves by our faith. I do want to give a little bit of a warning right off the bat that if you're easily offended by religion, I will make a disclaimer right off the bat that there's going to be some of you that will probably be offended by this message because you've allowed the spirit of religion to control your thinking, a denominational mindset to control your thinking, things you've heard, gossip, slander, all this nonsense that you've heard in Christian circles that has circulated for years and years and years. They try to tell you that God won't do this, or he can't do that, or he's limited to this. So I'm giving you that forewarning. This may not be for everyone, but if you're willing to listen to the message, I believe that God will bless you. Number one. Number two, I believe that you'll really enjoy what you're about to hear because it's going to be an equipping message. But before we get started, again, don't forget to hit that like button, excuse me, that share button. It pushes our material out there on these platforms, all of our headlines, all of our videos, our content, everything is, it's circulated out through these outlets through you guys liking the videos and sharing them. And also, if you've not downloaded our free app, again, available on Apple, available on Android, download it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. All right, Mark chapter 9, guys. We're going to go to Mark 9, Mark 11. Mark 9, Mark 11. These are going to be the two foundational scriptures I'm going to use, and then we're really going to get into this thing. Again, seven keys to unlocking the impossible in your life. Mark 9, verse 14. And when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when he saw them, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I have brought you my son who has a mute spirit." So there's a spirit on this child. And Jesus defines it as a mute spirit. Some translations say deaf and dumb spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Verse 19. He answered and said, "Oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" Yes, Jesus was losing his patience. "How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell upon the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and thrown him into the water to destroy him." This is talking about this spirit affecting this young boy. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now look at verse 23 of Mark 9. Jesus says unto him, quote, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now let's go over to Mark 11. Here's a story about when you go down to verse 20, Jesus is in Bethany. The Bible says, I'm in verse 12, Mark 11, 12. Jesus was hungry. He sees, when he's coming out of Bethany, he sees a fig tree from afar off having leaves, but apparently it was fruitless. Thus, Jesus cursed the fig tree in front of the disciples. Everyone standing there heard this. And then you go down here to verse 20. As time persisted, the next day, they're passing through the same region. They see the fig tree, which is dried up from the roots. Peter, being the vocal one he is, remembers what Jesus did to the fig tree and what he said to it. And he says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you have cursed has withered away. Now look, I want you to see what Jesus says here. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says, whatever he says, saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you today to deliver this message. I pray that it will bring forth fruit. It will prosper in what you sent forth to do. I pray that you would stir up the belief of many that are watching and listening, stir up the faith in many that are believing and watching. I pray that you, that they would have faith to believe you for the impossible today, whatever that looks like, whatever they're believing for. Whether it's something that others have looked upon or looked down upon, they frowned upon, the naysayers have said it cannot be possible, it will never happen, it can never happen. Lord, it don't matter how big the mountain is that they are looking at, that they're facing, and that they're speaking to. Lord, I pray that after this message today, I pray that you would, after this word that I will deliver today, that I believe the Holy Spirit has put upon my heart, I pray that you would anoint it, and that, Lord, it would charge their faith today, that they would begin to believe you, God, for the impossible in their life, whatever it looks like today. And we pray it and we declare it today in Jesus' mighty name. So again, keys to unlocking the impossible in your life. So number one, if you're taking notes, the number one key, we're not, now these are, that doesn't mean it's like the top one above all seven, but we're just going down this list. Okay. So just want to clarify that. All right. So our first key, we'll say it like this. Our first key is find and surround yourself with individuals who are filled with faith and will believe God for the impossible with you, and get away from negative people, naysayers, and individuals who have no faith, who will pollute your faith and discourage your vision. Now, I'm going to repeat that again. I know that's a lot. That's a mouthful. Again, it is imperative, if we're going to believe God, and if you're going to believe God for the impossible in your life, you're going to have to connect yourself with and surround yourself with individuals. Jesus said, find two or more. He said, if any two shall touch and agree on any one thing, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. You don't need 17 people. You just need to find one or more. Unity. It's about unity. They were all in, there was 500 brethren at the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave them all the same command, go into the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the endowment of power, the promise of the Father. But there was only 120 that was willing to wait. But God didn't need 500. The small amount that was there that would be in unity. And it would, and it happened to be 120. But the Bible says they were all in one mind and one accord, and it produced a suddenly in their life. So listen to me. Find yourself, whoever it is, and find individuals or individual who is filled with faith and full of the Holy Ghost who will believe you for the impossible. And you're going to have to say goodbye to some people. You're going to have to, listen, you can love them. You can bless them. As we say in the South, bless their heart. They may be good people. They may have good intentions. But listen, I may think that they're good people. They may have good intention. But if I'm believing God for something that's an impossibility in the natural, I am not going to go to this brother or this sister who has, they don't have enough faith to get themselves out of a wet paper sack in the middle of a rainstorm. I am going to seek out and find the individual or individuals who I know has a track record in believing God for the impossible in their life and seeing God come through. You've heard me talk about this story. I'll give you the cliff notes of this so that we don't, because if I give you all these stories in detail, we'll go way over the amount of time that I want to spend on this message. Years ago, when my car was stolen out of my parking lot or out of my driveway of my apartment, this was years ago when my wife and I first got married, when my car was stolen out of our driveway, we did everything we needed to do in the natural. We called the police, we filed a report, we did all that. But we began to pray, began to intercede, and I began to command the devil to give my car back. And I'm telling you, it was hard to find other Christians that would believe with me and have the faith with me that my car would be found, it would be returned, and it would have no scratches on it. It would not be damaged. It would not be brought to an impound lot or any of that stuff. But I found one individual in the church that we was attending, and I knew that this individual had faith to believe in anything because he had a track record. I sought him out. We came into agreement, and the next day, my car was found. It was discovered. It didn't have a scratch on it. It was completely intact, and God delivered my vehicle back to me because I believe he honored my prayers and my faith in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me? You go to Mark chapter 2. There is a wonderful story there where he is in Capernaum. Jesus is in Capernaum. He was preaching at a house in Capernaum. He was preaching the gospel there, and there was so many people there. The crowds were so large, and there were so many people that there, the Bible says in Mark chapter 2 that there was no more room to receive anybody else. You could not fit another body in this home. The Bible says not even at the door. But there was a group of individuals who had a friend who was a paralytic, who was paralyzed on a mattress. They had carried him from another region on a mattress all the way because they had heard and they had seen and they had experienced the wonderful miracle working power of Jesus. Listen, somebody says, well, I would never drive an hour to a church. I would never go to a church that is that far away or do this or do that. Friend, you say that because you've never experienced a church that is full of the power of the Holy Ghost with signs, wonders, and miracles and the healing power of Jesus. Because if you ever experience that, there is no limitation, no miles, and no distance that you would put on that. Because I'm telling you, people are going to go where Jesus is. They're going to go where the power of God is. They're going to go where there is miracles. They're going to go where there is demonstration of the Bible being on full display. So yes, you're right. I would not drive an hour away to go to some dry, dead, plucked up from the root twice cemetery where they can't even recognize a demon if it was sitting on the front row in full display. I wouldn't even go across town to go to a church that dead. But this is not what we're talking about here in Mark chapter 2. We're talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth is preaching in Capernaum in a home that is filled to capacity, can't get another soul in it. Here comes a group of individuals with a paralytic man, and they did not become discouraged because of the circumstances that they were facing and the impossibility that they were looking at and staring down. Instead, watch this. They said, if we can't go through the window, if we can't go through the door, we'll go through the roof. And your Bible says that they begin to tear off and tear apart the roof and begin to lower down this man into the very service where Jesus was ministering. And I want to show you this. Look what it says here in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When they did this, Jesus responded by saying, quote, when Jesus saw their plural tense, faith. When he saw their faith, it didn't say when he saw the faith of the paralytic man. He said when he saw their faith, because the paralytic could not walk on his own accord. Thus, he was being carried on a mattress. He could not walk to the meeting. He could not journey to the meeting. He could not climb up to the top of the roof of the house of the meeting. So Jesus saw their faith and said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Well, this enraged the religious crowd. It enraged the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, all them. So then he began to say, which is easier to say, take up your bed and walk, or that your sins are forgiven, that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive men's sins. And your Bible says the man was healed of his affliction. What am I talking about? Again, I want you to pay attention to what we're talking about here. Notice here that this man had a group of friends. Oh, come on, somebody. He had a circle that had a mindset that we're going to get you to the presence of God, whatever it takes. Oh, come on. Don't you wish you had some friends like this? Listen, some of y'all need to call up some of your heathen friends and your heathen family members and tell them, listen, you better be thankful that I've been praying for you. You better be thankful that I keep inviting you to church. You better be glad. You better be thankful that I kept interceding for you when you could have died in that car accident when you were drinking too much and taking too much dope and doing all this and do that, because the Lord used me to stand in the gap. You're still alive today. Oh, some of y'all need to call up your kids and you need to tell them now that they're older. Come on, you need to call them up and say, you remember all those times I drug you to church? I drug you to that prayer meeting. I drug you to that conference. I drug you to that revival meeting. And God touched you. God met you. God intervened there. God delivered you. God saved you. Come on, if it had not been for your persistence, if it had not been for these individual circle, that circle of influence, come on, we need people in our circles that when we're going through hell and we're going through high water, and we're going in a valley, we're in despair, we're in affliction, we're in depression, we're in a dark place, that they won't leave us out and high to dry, but they'll call us up, they'll come to our house, they'll bang on the door, they'll come to us and say, get up out of your miry clay, get up out of your depression, get up out of this sickness, get up out of this affliction, and get into the house of God. It may be an inconvenience for you. We may have to drive an hour away, but whatever it takes, we're going to get you in the presence of God, because it's in his presence where the impossible can be made possible. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? I'm talking about you've got to surround yourself with a circle of individuals, come on, that are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, that are going to believe with you for the impossibility. But on the other hand, if you got a circle of individuals that has no vision, no purpose, no faith at all. They never get the victory over things. They never get the victory over substances. They never get the victory over weaknesses. They never get victory over the afflictions. They don't fast. They don't pray. They don't go to church. They don't seek God. They don't talk about God. Their hearts are filled with everything else but God. My friends, you're going to discover real quick when you need agreement for something that you're probably going to have to go outside of that circle of individuals if you ever want to get anything done, come on, in the area of breakthrough and get the impossible made possible in your life. All right, we got to move on. Number two. Ready? Number two. This kind of dovetails off number one, but watch this, a little bit different. Number two is do whatever it takes to keep yourself hungry for God. This is different. Number two, do whatever it takes to keep yourself hungry for God. Listen, we've done entire podcasts on this in some form or fashion on this. You've got to keep the fire burning in your life. You've got to keep the hunger of God going in your life. We're talking about a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, seeking the face of the Lord, getting involved. Listen, find conferences of men and women of God that are sound doctrine, that are on fire for God, revival services. I know many of these are difficult to find depending on what areas you're in, but find you good books, spirit-filled books by different authors to read. Again, whatever you got to do to keep stirring up that hunger, because those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Listen, if you lose your hunger, you're going to lose your faith. And if you lose your faith, you're not going to be able to achieve the impossible in your life. You're not going to even believe for it. And listen, if I come to you right now and say, what is the impossible that you're believing God for in your life? If you hesitate and takes you 2 to 3 minutes to answer that, that tells me there's probably some of that hunger has dissipated in your life. We should always be challenged. We should always be challenged to go deeper, be more hungry, and to believe God for great things and impossible things in our life. So again, that's why I said you got to do whatever it takes for, listen, I'm going to be honest, in my own life, yes, I read the word. Of course I read the word, but I've got a journal. I've got books I read. I'll put on YouTube channels of certain ministries and ministers that I get fed from. A lot of them are not even alive anymore. Most of them are dead. They've gone on to be with the Lord, but I still bring up old sermons and it stirs me up. Or I've got old CDs that I play in my car of just preaching and teaching. Even some spirit-filled music, some spirit-filled worship music. Again, whatever stirs that hunger up so that it can continue to drive you to believe God for greater and more and the impossible things that you're believing God for. All right, number three. We must find mentors, or we could say spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, that are willing to teach and pour out into our lives. If this is possible. Now, I want to preface this by saying, I understand, again, depending on location, depending on your circumstance, many of you you don't have a spiritual mother, spiritual father that can be tangible in your life that can pour into you. Okay? And if that's you, here's what you do. You find individuals that you listen to, you set under their ministry, whatever, and let them feed you, let them teach you. They become your spiritual mothers. They become your spiritual father. These are mentors. These are individuals, watch this, who have successful ministries. They have successful marriages. Their lives are successful. They bear fruit. These are people that mentor you. They pour out into you. They live, they lay down their lives to pour out to the next generation. These are the spiritual. Paul said it like this. He said, you have many teachers, but you have very few fathers. And we do lack that today. We don't have a lot of the spiritual fathers are going on to be with the Lord. We have a whole new generation of believers coming up, and we need those spiritual fathers. I remember many years ago, when the Leonard Ravenhills and the David Wilkersons and the Steve Hills and all these individuals begin to go on to be with the Lord. And I remember I was praying. I said, Lord, where are the spiritual fathers of this hour? Where are they? They're all going on to be with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, said, look in the mirror. I'll never forget that. And it shook me. And that was probably when I turned about 40 years of age. And I'm like, number one, it was a wake up call, how old I'm actually getting. And number two, I realized that there is many individuals that I have never met you. And you have emailed me and you've messaged me and you have told me that I'm almost like a mentor or a spiritual father to you. And guys, I don't say that lightly. I am very humbled and very honored by that. And that's why I take this very seriously. I don't do this for likes. I don't do this for shares. I don't do this for notoriety. I try to pour out to a generation because this is what God's called me to do. It is the calling on my life, and I take it very seriously. So what am I talking about? Again, find, if possible, connect yourself physically with a spiritual father, spiritual mothers, mentors in your life. If not, again, who has been responsible for mentoring you and shaping your spiritual walk with God? Those are likely your spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers. These are individuals that we can look up to. So listen, you can put faith in men, but your trust has to be in God. Because we can get, this was a painful lesson for me years and years ago, as I put my trust in men. And when those men let me down, they failed, they had a moral failure, whatever. And we're talking about pastors, we're talking about evangelists, we're talking about leaders in the body of Christ, people I knew personally. And it was very painful. And I had to walk through those seasons. And that's when the Lord began to teach me that it's okay to put your faith in men, but we put our trust in God. Because if you put your trust in men and you put all your trust in men, you're going to get let down. Okay. And this is why a lot of people, they stop going to church. They don't attend church anymore. They've given up on church because they put all their trust and faith in men and leaderships and positions and pastors and ministries. And when those let them down, those individuals, those ministries, whatever, there's a failure, whatever the case may be, then the damage was done. All right. Here's a good one. Number four. Listen, I've learned this over 23 years. Learn from your mistakes. Are you going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Are you going to fail at times? Absolutely. Are you going to fall short at times? Absolutely. Daley Thompson, who was an athlete, he was a former athlete in Britain, in the decathlon, he said one time, quote, I will learn more from my failures than my successes. In his goal setting, Thompson was content to grow slowly because slow growth is more solid, and he did it in small steps. Man, that's good stuff right there. That's powerful. So the key, this is what he went on to say. Look beyond your mistakes and savor successful experiences. Don't feel embarrassed or uncomfortable about your achievements. Make daily affirmations to yourself that you're doing well and are on the right track. Reward yourself for minor achievements or steps on the road to your bigger goals. Give yourself credit no matter how small your achievements are. Look forward to positive outcomes and rehearse them in your mind rather than anticipating failure. Don't repeat bad experiences. Our attitude ties us down and limits us so that mediocrity becomes our destiny. That is so powerful. And he said, well, that sounds like a bunch of humanistic new age garbage. Really? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what about Paul in Philippians 3? When he says that, he says, all the things that I've achieved in my life, he says, I counted them as loss. He says, I counted all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. dung. He said that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And he goes on, he says, not that I've already attained this, nor am I already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say, I'm pressing on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid of hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, I don't know who this word is for, but listen, some of y'all has been believing God for the impossible. You've been believing God for the impossible in your health. You've been believing God for the impossible in your marriage, in your church, in your business, in your relationships with maybe your friends, your family, your loved ones, your children to be saved, whatever it is. You're facing impossible circumstances and situations, and the devil has been beating you up because of things in your past, not just before the blood of Jesus, but even things after you got saved, even after you got born again. You slipped up, you fell, you said some things you shouldn't have said, you looked at some things you shouldn't have looked at, you still have some weaknesses, you still have some habits, you still have some setbacks in your flesh, and the devil has wore you out, come on, with condemnation, telling you that God will never give you the things in which you're believing him for, because you're not worthy, you are not qualified, and you have disqualified yourself because you've not reached this level of perfection. Well, I've come by to tell you today that the devil is a liar, because there is not one individual under the sound of my voice who has reached ultimate perfection. Come on, nobody has. Christ is the only one who has ever been tempted in all points, but without sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John says, if any man says he sins not, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Friends, you are not qualified to be able to unlock the impossible in your life by your achievements, by your own righteousness, by your own justification. It is through and only by the blood of Jesus and by faith in him and in his word alone. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap right there, or an amen, or a hallelujah, or something right there. I believe some people got set free right there, because I'm telling you, I have been there, friend. I have been in circumstances where I've begin to pray and begin to intercede and believe God for the impossible and for God to give me a breakthrough in an area. And I'm telling you, the devil was right there beating me over the head with condemnation, telling me I'm not worthy to even be praying. I'm not worthy to even be asking. I'm not worthy to be seeking, and I'm not worthy to be believing God for the impossible in my life. And the Lord had to set me free from these things. Now, we're not giving you a justification for sin. We're not giving you a justification for any of this stuff. But what I'm telling you is, even the Apostle Paul said, all my achievements and everything that I've worked feverishly for in the eyes of man to be able to obtain all these things, he said, I count it all as rubbish. The only thing that's going to make any difference is to be found in him and to become acquainted with the fellowship of his sufferings. And oh, come on, I'm going to paraphrase what Paul said right here. And he said this, I may not be where I want to be today. I may have not achieved and obtained the very thing that I'm seeking for today, but I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. Oh, come on. If Paul was here today, he would say this. He'd say, at least I'm not Saul of Tarsus anymore. At least I'm not, come on, going against God's will anymore. I'm not persecuting the very church that I'm raising up anymore. I'm not causing those to blaspheme God anymore. I'm not causing them to be stoned anymore. anymore. Instead, I am a chosen vessel. I am an instrument for and a mouthpiece of God to preach to the Gentiles that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. So come on, somebody. Who am I talking to today? You may not be where you want to be. You may have not obtained what you want to obtain. You may have not reached that goal that you're seeking. But come on, you just need to stop beating yourself up and say, thank God I'm not who I used to be. I know who I used to be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, last month, last week, last Saturday, whatever the case would be, whoever I'm talking to, come on, this word is for you. And that is, learn from your mistakes. Stop beating yourself up about it. Stop letting the devil beat you up about it. Come on, get up, shake it off, press forward, and keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Number five. All right, we're almost done, guys. Number five. Ready? Make the most of any situation that you have found yourself in. Let me say that again. Make the most of the situation that you... Listen, this kind of dovetails off number four. I may not be up here where I want to be, but I've got to make the most of the situation I'm in. Instead of being anxious, I have to believe that things will work out. Believe that all things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and that are called according to His purpose. I got to believe that and remember that if God closed the door, it was His will for that door to close. That only means that a different door is going to open, and that's the door that I'm going to go through. Oh, who am I talking to today? Listen, I may not be, some of y'all is believing God to get out of a living circumstances that maybe that you're in. You're in a bad neighborhood. You're in a bad place. You're in a bad location. And you, come on, in your journal, you've been praying, you've been seeking God, you've been believing that God is going to promote you, God's going to elevate you, God's going to bless you to be able to say, to close the door in that chapter and open the door for the next chapter and get you in a better neighborhood, in a better community, a safer neighborhood. Come on. But instead of being anxious because you're in the in-between, you just got to begin to appreciate where you're at now. Just come on, thank God that He's protected you where you're at. He's kept you safe where you're at. You've been a good steward of where you're at. Some of y'all's believing God for promotion in your job, in your place of employment, and where you work at. And come on, but instead of always being anxious and always complaining about the job that you're in, come on, just begin to thank God and say, Lord, I thank you that I have a job. Lord, I thank you that I may not be where I want to be in life, but I thank you that this is just a hallway. This is just a transition. Friend, I've walked it out. 5 years, I worked construction supply. 7 years, I worked in a restaurant. But these were not my ultimate end goals. These were the in-betweens. These were the hallways. These were the fields in which God put me in to work the harvest until He promoted me to the next level. So while I was in the restaurant business, while I was in the construction business, you know what I did? I used it as my pulpit. I would witness to the lost in those areas. I would help people, encourage people, speak the gospel, sow the seed where I was at. And then when it was God's timing, He opened the door and promoted me. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, some of you, you have spent all your time complaining about your job, complaining about where you live, complaining about your marriage, complaining about your children, complaining about your circumstances, when in reality, if you would have begin to make those supplications known to God, those prayer requests known to God, then there was probably a good probability something would have changed by now. Listen, this may not be for everybody, but somebody needs to receive that word today. Let me say that again. Instead of spending and exhausting all of your time and your energy and using the same tongue to complain about all the circumstances and the trouble and the woes that you're in now, if you would have used the same tongue to magnify God and not the problem and begin to declare the promise and not the circumstance, God would have brought you out by now. So listen, how do you do that, Brother Bricky? You say, Father, I thank you, Lord, that my kids are a bunch of rebellion heathens right now. I've trained them up in the way in which they should go. And Lord, I believe you that when they're older, they shall not depart from it. Lord, I thank you that, Father, I've instilled in them. I have planted the word of God in them. I've exhausted hours of reading the word of God, putting them in the house of God, pouring out into them, getting them into your presence. And I know the way they're acting right now is not what you've called them to be. They're manifesting things that is not your will, God. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I refuse to become discouraged about it. I refuse to be disheartened about it. But I thank you. I call those things that be not as though they were. Come on, this is where I'm going to stir up some religious devils, because you've had a bunch of denominational background, religious people, and whatever try to tell you that name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and all that confession stuff is a bunch of gibberish and garbage, and it's that word of faith stuff, and there is no power in it. Listen, I come by to tell you today that, listen, I have made declarations. I have decreed things. I have stood on the promises of God, and I have saw the impossible be made possible. Don't tell me that God ain't in it. Don't tell me. The Bible says, listen, don't mess with me, because I'll dig deeper than this. I'll plow a lot harder. Jesus said, have faith in God. As surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, you got to open your mouth and speak to that mountain, whatever that mountain looks like, whatever that circumstance is, whatever that impossibility is, you have to speak to it, and you got to command it to be removed and cast in the sea. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall be done. And the Bible says that you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. That's not my words. That's not a movement's words. That's not what some charismatic said or some Pentecostal said or somebody said that you don't like. That's what Jesus said, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He said those very words. So you either believe it or you don't today. Listen, sometimes you're going to get in a place of prayer where you become so desperate. You become so desperate for an answer to God and a breakthrough and for your impossibility to be made possible that you begin to tap into what Romans 8 says. You begin to pray in the Spirit, because Paul said in Romans 8 that the Spirit himself begins to make intercession for us with groanings that which cannot be uttered. And you begin to pray in the Spirit. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't really care if you do or not, because the Bible believes in it. The apostles believed in it, and Jesus believed in it. Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, Brother Ricky is full of the Holy Ghost, and I have a prayer language. And I, just because you don't hear me praying in tongues most of the time on these broadcasts, doesn't mean I don't pray in the Spirit. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says there's things that has to be done decent and be in order. There is an order for everything. God is a God of order. And if I got on here and began to pray in the Spirit without giving you instructions on what I'm praying for or about, then you're the recipients of that is not going to understand what I'm saying. But if I get on here today and I said, I want us all to begin to pray in the Spirit about a certain circumstance or situation, and I begin to pray in the Spirit, I don't need to give you an interpretation, because I'm not praying to you. I'm praying to Him about you. Oh, listen, I don't care if you amen me, you can owe me or whatever you want to do, but I'm preaching you the gospel truth today. Listen, Joseph had to understand this. Joseph had to make the most of his situation that he found himself in, believing that God was able to deliver him. For 13 years, every door of Joseph's life kept closing. Boom, 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 for 13 years. But then, according to Psalms 105, the Bible says that when the fullness of time had come, his word came to pass. Hallelujah. Think about it, church. Moses was released in a basket, but he was saved. Moses was released in a basket, but he ended up being raised up and to save Egypt. David was despised by his family, but God raised him up as a king over Israel. Ruth became a queen in one day by Boaz. Esther was a nobody, but became a somebody and saved the nation of Israel. And all these individuals have the same thing in common. Moses was among his people. He was a slave, but God still raised him up. David was on the backside of the desert. Everybody rejected him. Everybody counted him out. Everybody overlooked him, but God did not overlook him. God did not despise him. But God saw him defeating the lion and the bear. And God raised him up to defeat a giant. Ruth was the outcast, but became the queen. Esther was the underlooked and overlooked, but God raised her up to give her a mandate to save all of Israel. Abraham Lincoln grew up in a difficult environment. He had less than 1 year of formal schooling. He experienced defeat. He experienced failure year after year after year, but he ended up being one of the greatest success stories of all time. In spite of everything, he remained with the right attitude and the right mentality, and he made the most of what circumstances that he was in, because his vision was still intact and he was believing God for the impossible. Caruso, who was the world's greatest tenor, was told by many individuals that his voice sounded like a tin can. Thomas Edison, the inventor of motion pictures, was told by many, and he was advised that not one individual would ever pay to listen to the sound coming from a screen. And ironically, Thomas Edison told Henry Ford to give up on his dream and visions of making cars and work for him instead, because then he would be successful. Come on, it's a good thing he didn't listen to that, because Henry Ford became very successful and you might be driving one of his inventions right now. Benjamin Franklin was told to give up fiddling around and horse playing with lightning. But the bottom line with all these individuals, and what we're trying to say here, is despite of their setbacks, despite of their failures, despite of everything that looked grim, they remained optimistic and they made the best of their circumstances, believing that the best was yet to come. Come on, right now, I want you to close your eyes, and you need to begin to believe in your, come on, close your eyes and begin to see a vision. If you're sick, see yourself healed. If you're broke, see yourself prospering. If your children are away from God, begin to believe that they're restored in Jesus' name. If you're homeless, begin to believe God for that blessing of that home. If your marriage is on the rocks, your marriage is in shambles, begin to believe God for reconciliation and restoration. And as you begin to believe that, as you begin to see that in your vision, you begin to pray and you begin to believe God for that. Now that leads me right into number 6, and that is we have to be persistent. If we're ever going to see the impossible, we have to be persistent. It means you're going to get knocked down, but you get back up. It means you're going to get set back, but you get back up. You're going to have to be persistent. I remember when, you guys have heard this story, when we begin to believe God for us to move from one state to another state, we were weighed down with debt, but we were persistent. We prayed for that debt to be released. We prayed, God, we thank you, Lord, that every debt's going to be canceled. Every debt's going to be released. Every debt's going to be paid in full in Jesus' name. We will lend and not borrow, be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. These debts will be eradicated so that we'll have the freedom to be able to do what you feel like, that we feel like, excuse me, that you place upon our heart as a mandate. And listen, this didn't happen overnight. We were persistent. We continued to pray. We continue to pray day after day after day. We began to intercede. We began to pray. We began to believe those things that were not as though they were. We had the vision. As Habakkuk says, you write the vision down. Though it tarry, it will speak. He said, well, Brother Ricky, I'm in a low place. I was on fire, but now I'm set back. I can't see no end. Listen, Micah chapter 7, verse 8 says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. He will be a light unto me. What am I saying to you? I'm saying get back up, get back in the race, be persistent. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. It don't just say ask. It says keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Luke chapter 18, there is the widow that goes before the unjust judge, and she goes day, and she goes night, and she goes day, and she goes night. And the Bible says because of her persistence, the unjust judge, who was not a man of God, he was not serving God, but because of the persistence of this widow woman was driving him nuts, he said, I am going to answer her. And Jesus says, hear the story of the unjust judge and hear what it is saying. He says, how much more shall your heavenly Father avenge his elect who cry out night and day? He says, though he bears with them long, he says he will avenge them speedily. All right, number seven. Here's a big one. Number seven, when opposition comes, and it will, Paul said, with a great and effectual door that is opened unto me, with it much adversity. That's a principle right there, friends. You need to write that down and remember that. When anytime God opens a door, behind that door will come adversity. Oh, you're believing God for a promotion? Come on, believe God for that promotion. He'll give it to you, but it won't come without adversity. You believe in God for your children to get saved? God can do it. He's well able, but with it will come adversity. You believe in God for your marriage to be restored and reconciled? God can do it, but comes with it much adversity. Come on, y'all get the picture by now? With a great and effectual door, with it will come much adversity. So when opposition comes, and it will, here's what we got to do, guys. We got to keep our eyes and our focus on the Lord, His word, and His promises rather than the circumstances that we're dealing with and the adversity. Let me say that again. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord, His word, and know His promises. Because that is what's going to carry us through those dark times. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, come on, somebody. How many things have you and I been through that we should have never come out on the other side? But because we had our faith in God, we knew His word. We held on to His promises that are yes and amen, and to those that believe. And again, watch, here comes that religious Pharisee. Well, those promises are not for us today. I'm telling you, the sensationists and the wet blankets will come out of the woodwork and try everything they can to keep you from believing those promises and believing for your impossible. It's amazing, isn't it? I just want to say, listen, if that's you, why can't you just believe God for the impossible? Instead of trying to convince everybody else that God can't heal them, why don't you just put the same effort into believing God can heal you? Oh, you didn't hear me. Instead of telling everybody that it's not God's will for them to be blessed and for them to prosper at their job, why don't you believe God can bless you and prosper you, your job? Listen, you know why that is? Because misery wants company. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely sad that people will live and die by a doctrine that produces no fruit nor evidence of its reality versus just believing God for His word. Listen, in Matthew 14, there's a story here where Jesus gets into a boat with the disciples. They're sailing to the Gadarenes, and their whole purpose to get in this boat and to sail over to the other side is to set free a demonized man that was bound by 1,000 demons, or I should say over 1,000 demons, called Legion. In their pursuit of getting this man delivered, a great tempest or a storm opposed them. The adversity came against them, and Jesus rose up and rebuked the wind. And I venture to tell you that the entire adversity that came against them was because of the impact that the devil was threatened by, because he knew that when this man would be set free by over 1,000 demons, that that man's testimony alone, going back to the village in which he came out of, where everybody knew him, was going to bring a mighty revival to the region. So the enemy was trying everything he could to stop them from fulfilling their purpose. So listen, we shouldn't scurry and run away and be frightened by adversity. In fact, if there is adversity coming against you, that's a good thing. That means you're doing a good thing for the kingdom. I would get really worried if the enemy never opposed me and there was never any adversity in my life, because then I would have to reevaluate my life and say, wait a minute, am I really a threat to the kingdom of hell? Because the Bible talks about this, that when the seven sons of Sceva try to cast a devil out, those devils recognized and understood who they were. They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you jokers? And those devils whooped up on them boys and sent them running out of the village naked and beat up and defeated. So don't tell me that, first of all, don't tell me that demons are not real. Number two, don't tell me that deliverance ministry is not for today either. I get so sick of hearing that too. And everybody that says that has never in the flesh, with their own eyes, dealt with a demon-possessed individual. Because the moment you face a demon face-to-face, your theology goes out the window, my friend. I don't care if your denomination or theology says there is no such thing as demons today, and demons don't oppress people, and demons don't afflict people. The moment you come face-to-face with demons, we'll see how quick you hold to that theology. So listen, here's what I want to do. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about seven keys. These are seven practical keys to unlocking the impossible in your life. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what the impossibility is that you're facing today, but I want to come into agreement with you today. Listen, you may not be able to find anybody else that will believe with you, but I will. I'm going to believe with you today. So right now, before we do anything else, this is what we're going to do. I want you to come into agreement with me. I'm going to come into agreement with you, and we're going to pray right now for your impossibility. So come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've delivered this word the best of my ability. I pray that the Holy Spirit has anointed it. I pray that the anointing of God would go through this camera, through this microphone. The presence of God would begin to invade people's homes, people's lives, their atmosphere, their location, their proximity, wherever they're at, wherever they're listening, whether it's live or by the rebroadcast of this, whatever it is that they're believing you for. Lord, whatever's in their journal, whatever's in their prayer book, whatever is in their heart, those things that are impossible, whether it's loved ones being saved, whether it's a church circumstance, whether it's a marriage reconciliation, whether it's a healing in their body, whether it's a deliverance, whether it's addictions being broken, whether it's habits being broken, whether it's a promotion, a job opportunity, a relocation, an open door, whatever it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're the God of the impossible. And you said in your word, in Mark 11, if we believe God, if we have faith in God, we can speak unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. If we believe in our heart and not doubt, and we believe those things in which we say it shall be done, it shall be done for us. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we begin to speak to those mountains right now. Come on, open your mouth, begin to speak to those mountains where you're at. If you're with your husband, with your wife, grab their hand and begin to come into agreement for your mountain. Come into agreement for your mountain with your kids, with your family members, with your whatever your circumstances. You got to speak that mountain out. If it's loved ones, if it's a relationship, if it's a marriage, if it's a sickness, it's a disease, you got to speak to that mountain and command it to cast itself into the sea. Debt, I command you to be cast into the sea in Jesus' name. I shall be debt free. I shall be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath in Jesus' name. I shall lend and not borrow in Jesus' name. Disease, you must go. Sickness must go. Infirmity must go. I am healed by his stripes. His healing is the children's bread. I thank you, Father, that Lord, by his stripes, I am healed. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. I declare that every member of my house shall be saved based on Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved, in me and my whole household. You said that you're long suffering and that you will that none perish and that all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we speak to every mountain, every hindrance that's keeping our loved ones from being saved, our co-workers, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, whoever they are that we're believing God for to be saved. We come against the very root thing that's keeping them saved, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's unbelief, whether it's false doctrine, whether it's witchcraft, whether it's sorcery, whether it's new age, whether it's demonic, whatever it is, we speak to those mountains and we command them to be tossed into the sea, be removed in Jesus' name. Oh, I command every obstacle, every adversity that's pulling down marriages, that's breaking marriages apart. I come against Jezebels and Delilahs that's trying to destroy marriages. I command them to be loosed, command them to be removed, command them to be brought out of the picture in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for reconciliation. We thank you for restoration in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for that church, that establishment of that ministry. Every adversity, every obstacle, every mountain that's keeping it from happening, I thank you for the impossible, God. We believe you for the impossible in Jesus' name. For every court situation, every legal situation that someone may be in and involved in, that it seems impossible to get custody, impossible to win this case, impossible to get the favor. But right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you that all things are possible unto those that believe. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, it don't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the banker says. It doesn't matter what the accountant says. It doesn't matter what the counselor says. It doesn't matter what the naysayers say. It don't matter what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, or the religious demons say. I thank you, Father God, if your word says it, your promises are yes and amen. Lord, we shall have those things which we believe, and we receive it today in Jesus' name. We receive it today. Come on, somebody say this today. Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on today. Hallelujah. Now just give the Lord praise. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Give him thanksgiving today. The Bible says if you believe that you've already received it, come on, it shall be done. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're the God of the impossible today. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me. If you're watching the visual of this, that's our main website. Please bookmark it today. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, it's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, go to your Play Store, Apple Store, Google Store, Download our free app. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just type in Endtime Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo. It's going to be the big ETH. It's in, this is Endtime Headlines. It's got four blood moons and a solar eclipse at the bottom. Just download that app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every podcast and every headline when it's readily available. Listen, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live. It pushes our material out on the algorithm. And of course, as always, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, equips you, it informs you on a week-to-week basis, please pray about what the Lord would have you to do. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. This is how we continue to do what we do on a regular basis. We don't sell merchandise. We don't sell books, no magazines, no subscription base. The app is free. Everything is free. All we ask you to do is just be obedient to what the Lord would have you to do. Listen, there's two different ways you can do that. You can give electronically. The easiest way is if you have the app, go down to the bottom to the right, hit donate. It's going to bring you to a page. You can give by PayPal. You can give by credit card. You can give by Venmo. You can give by Cash App, or you can give by check or money order. That's right there on your screen. Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So we thank you. We appreciate you. You're all of our partners. We love you guys. We appreciate your giving, your support, and your prayers. By the way, I want to give you a quick update. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm not 100%, but I'd say I'm probably 85% better. Those ulcers are healing up good, and I'm very thankful for your intercession, your prayers. We thank you that we've gotten over that hurdle for the most part, and we're just going to continue on the road of recovery. And those mountains, listen, those mountains of those things that keep causing it, we're casting them things out because we're not going back to that in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, today is, again, Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be off. We'll take a break. We'll be back here Thursday night, September 7th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.